There's a somewhat reassuring image online this New Year's Day. I'm looking at it now. It's a satellite image taken yesterday of the top of the world locked up in ice from the southern tip of Greenland to the Bering Sea. That's the way things should look up there this time of year, but it was a much more disturbing picture just a few months ago when the Arctic ice cap reached record lows. The unprecedented ice melt was one of the biggest environmental stories of the past year, and that's saying something in a year where environmental news often pushed wars, economic crises, and even a presidential election off the front pages. Here with us now for a look back at 2012 and ahead to 2013 is the World's Environment editor, Peter Thompson. So how are you going to remember the year that's just finished, Peter?
Well, Marco, I remember sitting here with you almost exactly a year ago and predicting that 2012 would be the year in which climate change really stopped being mostly a slowly developing story and started becoming daily news. Now, I wasn't going too far out on a limb. That prediction was based on trends of the past few years in which it was becoming clear that climate change was moving faster than just about anybody had imagined just a few years before and was starting to really affect the daily lives of people around the world. But, of course, I had no idea what the year would actually have in store for us. I mean, just look at the U.S. We had that bizarre March heat wave, which sped up spring by several weeks and started setting off alarm bells about climate change around the country. Then starting in June, we had the massive heat wave and drought that dried up crops all across the middle of the country. And of course, in the fall, we had Sandy. There was a storm that many weather watchers say was the most bizarre and damaging that they've ever seen. And of course, as you mentioned, at the top, we also had that unprecedented melting of ice on both the Arctic Ocean and Greenland.
And I've got to say, Peter, I noticed a real change in the way these kinds of stories were reported. I mean, in the past, it was rare for news reports to actually draw a direct connection between extreme weather events like the ones you're talking about in the U.S. and climate change. But last year, it seemed journalists were a lot less hesitant to at least raise those questions.
Yeah, and that's really the result of two converging trends. One is that these previously weird and rare weather events are just becoming more common. And that roughly fits the pattern that scientists have been telling us to expect. So in effect, the real world is starting to look more and more like the forecast, which of course reduces the doubt about the science.
Right.
Then on the other hand, the science itself is becoming much better, and scientists are starting to be able to tease out the influence of climate change on particular weather events. Of course, no one can say that this weather event was caused by climate change. It's really more a matter of how much climate change is influencing the weather, although I do think it's safe to say that the melting ice in the Arctic is a result of climate change. And as we've reported, that warming may well be playing a role in some of these other weird weather events around the world.
So let's look ahead to the remaining 364 days this year. What are some of the big stories you're going to be watching?
Well, climate, of course, is still going to be huge, as it will be actually for the rest of our lives. And that's actually one of the big challenges for journalists. It's how to cover a story that's immensely important, but also at some point just sort of fades into the fabric of our lives and becomes sort of the new normal. So we have to find ways to tell small slices of the story along with the big picture.
Now, one slice of that story that a lot of people have been watching is the proposed Keystone Pipeline. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's coming back around for a very important decision in the next few months. You remember a year ago, President Obama basically put it on ice by ordering a new environmental review of the project. The State Department needs to sign off on it because the pipeline from the tar sands of Alberta would cross into the U.S. on its way to the Gulf of Mexico. Climate activists have basically drawn a big line in the sand over that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in light of a couple of big changes from a year ago. One, of course, is that President Obama is no longer facing re-election, so the politics are very different. Mm. Then there's the fact that the Secretary of State who has to rule on the plan is likely to be John Kerry. And Kerry has been a real leading voice in the Senate on pushing for action on climate change. So his ruling on Keystone will tell us a lot about whether or not he and the president will bring a new emphasis on climate change to this new administration.
Let me jump in there. Yeah. To this new administration.
Or to the second part of the to this second term?
Yeah, why don't you say
okay.
that?
Well, tell us, so his ruling on Keystone will tell us a lot about whether or not he and the president will bring a new emphasis on climate change to the second Obama administration.
And what about you, Peter? What are some of the stories that your curiosity, what are some of the environment stories that your curiosity is really driving you toward this year?
Well, I'm going to be looking more and more for stories on the struggle to find solutions to the climate crisis, which in effect mostly means stories about innovations in energy. The world's still pretty much in gridlock when it comes to the big picture of international agreements to cut climate pollution, but there are really interesting things happening around the world in energy policy and technology from places like Ireland and Japan, even to places like Ghana. So we're going to try to get to as many of those hopeful stories as we can. Then there's food and water. There's lots of ground to cover in the year ahead. So stay tuned.
All right. The World's Environment Editor, Peter Thompson, thank you.
Thank you, Marco.
You can see that map of the Arctic I mentioned earlier and hear highlights from our 2012 environmental coverage at theworld.org. You can also read Peter's latest blog post, inspired by our interview last week on the environmental challenges facing reindeer herders in the far north. It's a look back at the lessons from his first reporting trip to the Arctic 15 years ago. That's all at theworld.org.